Thanks. Well, good evening again. Pastor Denny here from Friendship Congregational Bible Church. It's good to be with you. It is Monday, May 4th. And yeah, I've been hearing a lot of May the 4th be with you, and I'll comment on that at the end. So, but it's good to have you guys here with us this evening, and all those that will tune in later on. I trust that everyone's still doing well. We're still praying, and there's definitely light at the end of the tunnel, and things will be back to where they should be before long. But let's go ahead and look to the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, just want to thank you again for your day. Lord, that there's much to rejoice and much to be happy for when we realize who we are in you, that we truly are your child. We truly are fully identified with your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's just so much to be thankful for, no matter what situation we're in. So thank you for this day. Thank you for your word that we know that you'll use to continue to mold and shape us and change us more into your image. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, here we are. We're finishing up, not tonight, but we're at the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That's the last chapter for 1 Thessalonians. And we'll be looking at starting in verse 19 tonight. So 1 Thessalonians, verse 19. I'll just read to the end, and hopefully a few more will tune in by then. So, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And tonight we'll be looking at those first three verses we read. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things and hold fast that which is good, and abstain from all appearances of evil. So actually four, not three. So, starting here tonight, quench not the spirit. Now again, we do know that even in Ephesians chapter 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. We do know that God the Holy Spirit is a true person. It's not a thing or an inanimate object or just a mysterious spirit that does things. It is truly God the Holy Spirit, a person. And we're told not to quench the Holy Spirit. Why? Well, for several reasons. The first one, which is the biggest one, is look back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, when Paul had said, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So when they received the word of God, how did they receive it? Well, they received it as the word of God and not of men. And because of that, it effectually worked in them. But how does it effectually work? And it only happens through the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. So when it says, quench not the Holy Spirit, it's basically saying, don't quench God's word. Holy Spirit directly works through his word into our life directly. We know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that you know we as believers, because of the Holy Spirit, have direct access into the mind of God, the heart of God. So God's word can truly come alive into our life. We actually can know the desires of God's heart when we look to him in prayer, in God's word, listening to others expound upon God's word. So that's why you can't quench the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul says, quench not the Spirit. Because that quench means kind of like extinguish or to suppress. I think of a wood-burning stove. There's a lot of those around here in Friendship, Wisconsin. And you have that damper, and you can open it up, let more oxygen in, and that fire burns more because you get more oxygen. Sometimes you shut it down to put it on a lower heat setting and it gets real low. Or you could just shut off all oxygen and nothing's working. So quench not the spirit. That also, again, like Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4:30 about grieving not the Holy Spirit, just because we can sadden the Holy Spirit, just because we can also quench and tell him to shut up in a way and say, I don't want to listen to you, I want to listen to me. That doesn't mean you'll lose your salvation. You're sealed forever. That's why also Paul also in Ephesians 4:30 immediately went on to say that you're sealed unto the day of redemption after saying that. That you do have that forgiveness of sins as well. You are his forever. But you are not an inanimate object to the Lord. You're not a robot to the Lord. You're not controlled in that manner. You are a free will person, and you have that choice to either walk in love or walk in the flesh again. So Paul is just simply saying, don't quench the Spirit. Let the Word of God effectually work in your life and reap those benefits. Don't look, we said this many times, don't look to the world. You might get feelings, a strong feeling that the end times are coming and you're scared. Well, God's Word says otherwise. You shouldn't be scared. The end times aren't coming yet. We don't need, Paul says, I have no need to write unto you these things. We went over that. If God's Word says it, then believe it. Walk by faith and let the Holy Spirit produce good emotions and feelings in you, of peace and safety and security and all those other things. So don't allow anything else but God's Word that the Holy Spirit's going to use. So don't quench them. Despise not prophesying, and this can mean a couple things, like to foretell, like the future, or to foretell, just basically reiterating in a way God's Word and expounding upon it. But remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 9 and 10 says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. What's that talking about? God's Word. Paul already started to allude to the fact that these spiritual gifts are starting to deteriorate already. Why? Because God's Word is coming closer and closer to being completed. Paul points that out. And Paul also said in Colossians 1:25 that, what? Wherefore I'm made a minister. What? According to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill God's Word. Paul was going to be the one that was going to finish off God's Word, to complete it as a whole thing. So now, like we had already alluded to, that because we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, we have direct access to the desire, the heart of God, be able to understand His will in our life, and He works through His Word. It's amazing how people can listen to God's Word being preached, and then so many people hear different things. I mean, yeah, they heard the same words, but the Holy Spirit reveals things in their own life, maybe answers to how to help other people that are specifically in their life. How does that happen? Because you're in the presence, you're in the grace of God. You directly have access to Him. We don't need anything else other than God's work and the Holy Spirit to do the job inside of us. We don't need to look to people who are telling these prophecies. I wish I could go back to when President Trump was elected, record myself on a couple things, because I knew immediately there were going to be people saying they had prophecies of what's going to happen in the future, and a lot of it relating to President Trump. And there are more and more this past year and a half, prophecies have come up, and I'm like, I wish I would record myself, because they want to manipulate God's Word to try to do things. But we don't need to have that. We have the Holy Spirit now. That's why He says, quench not the Spirit, but despise not prophesying. At this point in time, when Paul was writing, there were still prophecies, direct revelations from God, because God's Word wasn't complete. But that which is perfect has come. Now it is complete. We don't have those prophesyings. We do have the other type that might have been referred to, that all pastors and preachers, in a way, prophesize in terms of taking God's Word and expounding upon it and sharing the truth of it. But nowhere do we ever add to it or take away from it. And basically, getting new revelation from God is taking away from God's Word, because it's complete. So whether you take away or you add, you're actually taking away. So that's despise not prophesying. At the time, you shouldn't despise it. And today, when you hear God's Word preached from His Word and not from man getting something, then that's despise prophecy. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Prove. What's prove? Prove is to test or examine, but he says all things and hold fast it, that which is good. It is easier today than at that point, I believe, when Paul is writing this, to prove what is acceptable, to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. We do know that what? There's none that doeth good. There's none that's good. There's no one that's righteous. No, not one. You can see that in Romans chapter 3. And knowing that, that there none of us are good before we were saved, that you can't go out looking to man, to the rest of the world, to prove all things and to hold fast that which is good. You can't go out there looking. Paul says that in Romans 7 in verse 18, that in me, that is in my flesh, what dwelleth no good thing. So what does that tell you? That even as a believer, if you want to dwell in your flesh as well and not walk in the Spirit, what do you produce? Well, he goes into Romans chapter 8 then and says, you walk in the Spirit, what do you enjoy? Life and peace. You also enjoy the fruit of the Spirit. You walk in the flesh, what do you experience? Death. Everything that you now do, and now you're just going to be dead things to God. But here you can prove all things. Again, that same verse that Paul already mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, they received the word of God. They received it not as men, but as literally the word of God that effectually worked in their life. So here, you want to prove all things and hold fast that which is good, then you better hold fast to the good, the word of God, Christ, word that became flesh. Hold that and use it to prove all things. And again, God's word says one thing, your feelings or the world says something else. You better filter it through God's word. You better dump your feelings, dump what you know, dump what the world's saying into God's word, and whatever comes out might come out of God's word saying, yep, that's true. Or it might come out through the filter of God's word and says, nope, that's not true. Or, yeah, you should feel that way. Or, no, you shouldn't feel that way. So whatever that answer comes out based off of God's word, then you better walk by faith, not by sight. Too many times we want to look and see to get our answers. There's no signs. There's no wonders. There's no the prophesyings that we think of today. There's God's word. And you better use it. So prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Sift everything through God's word. Cleave to that which is good that comes out. Because only God's word, only we walking in the Spirit have those good things created unto good works. We're a new workmanship. So when Paul goes on further in Ephesians and says to now walk in love, to walk in that new man, to walk now that you are the body of Christ, the only way you produce good and righteous things in your life is when you're in the Spirit. So, again, that's how you prove all things and hold fast that which is good. So, it may be I see this and God's Word says no. It may be I feel so strongly, but God's Word says no. Whatever the case may be, whatever comes out, take it for what God's Word says and receive it like the First Thessalonians did, and it will affect your work in your life. But it goes on to say, abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain means to hold off or to keep away from. You always hear a lot, you always think of the word abstinence as well as not having any premarital sex before marriage. But to abstain, to hold back from. And he says, from all appearance of evil. Well, we know what the word all means, that's everything. But appearance of evil. A lot of people want to take this and say, okay, that's kind of like every work of evil, every working of evil, whatever it may be. But it goes a step further. This appearance does, in the Greek, mean appearance or shape or form of evil. So, just because, and alcohol is a good example. There's people, alcohol in and of itself isn't wrong. It's not a sin. Could you have a drink? Sure. But we do know specifically you're not supposed to be drunk with it. But what about others? I still remember the time we were out at Olive Garden, and I always take a sip of wine. It was probably the only time I ever would have alcohol throughout the year, is just that sip whenever someone would treat us to dinner or whatnot at Olive Garden. But I remember someone seeing me do that, and they say, oh, see, it's okay to drink. So then knowing, when you look back to Romans chapter 14, let me just read a couple verses from there. Romans chapter 14. Getting there, 10, 11, 14, Romans 14, 19. Let us therefore follow after things that which make for peace, and the things whereof one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hath thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubleth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And it's also a pretty strong definition of sin there. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. But in that context, and there's a lot more to it, could I right now have a drink, have a glass of wine, and that in and of itself not be sin? But knowing that I could cause others to stumble, knowing that others might falter, knowing that there are people that I might be helping through struggling with alcohol, and then that hurts them, well, that's sin. So that's what it's here, is for you, between you and the Lord, to get God's word out, making sure you have the Holy Spirit present in your decisions, not saying, oh, I can drink because God's word says I can, so if I don't get drunk. No. You allow the Holy Ghost to work in your life, the Word of God to work in your life, so that you can truly abstain from all appearance of evil. So that now you think of others. You don't think of yourself, whether you can or you can't. You actually think of others and say, well, if I do take that one drink, that even though I could, how does that affect the rest of the world? The people around me, the people I love, or the people that look up to me, or whatever the case may be. Another example, just to maybe help understand that more, I remember being involved with a martial art class that had a certain approved things that went to court, approved a certain set of maneuvers that you could do on people. So for bodyguards, police officers, other people that are involved in handling people and getting people out of tense situations, if you follow this certain rules and these maneuvers and do them the way they told them to, they were already approved by the courts. So if someone were to take you to court and say, oh, he was choking me, they would say, no, this guy did this approved work. It already was upheld in court. Too bad, too sad. But as one example, there was a move that went to the face. But if you were to take your hand, I think you can see us, and come up to the face, but you're a block of the way seeing me do that, from a block away, you might saw this right here before I got to what I had to do. And that witness says, hey, he was strangling that person. He was choking them. But the move in this system went around the head and then came to do the pressure point. Didn't come up this way, but went around the head. So then the person that's a block away, the witness that talks to the police, says, oh, he came around the head. He didn't have his hand around his throat or anything. It's similar to that. That the move in and of itself wasn't wrong, but how you did it could potentially be that appearance of evil. And we're told to be abstained from all appearance of evil. Because there are people out there that are struggling. There are people that do actually look up to you, whether you think so or not. And you need to continue to mature yourself in the Word of God. Continue to be that mature Christian so that, yeah, it might not be hard to give up something that, yeah, we might have certain liberties in Christ, but when we know it causes others harm, it causes others to struggle, to stumble, to be worse off, then you're in the wrong. So abstain from all appearance of evil. And we're about out of time. That were the four verses I wanted to cover tonight. So until next time, we will probably finish up 1 Thessalonians Wednesday, and I might do something different Friday before we get into 2 Thessalonians. So remember, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And basically, you can sum that up as be dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be dependent on God's word. We are created to be dependent on him. Not to be independent. The only independent, true independent being in this whole universe is God himself. So we need to be dependent upon God's word, specifically the Holy Spirit that illuminates in his word and also shares the mind of God. And when we do that, then we can truly, truly prove all things, hold fast that which is good, be able to abstain from all appearance of evil, and not only be able to walk well pleasing in the Lord, but also to be able to experience real joy, real peace, real safety, and all those other things that we have in the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for your word. Thank you that it is a rock that we can truly stand on it. So when all else fails, when our emotions are in turmoils, when we don't know the facts, when we don't know what's going on in the world, we can look to your word and know that it stands and that it's true. So thank you for that. Ask for your blessing upon your word tonight and all those that don't know you as personal Lord and Savior, that they truly will realize that Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood for our sins, made payment in full, and that simple faith in his death, his burial, his resurrection, that we have our sins blotted out for good, And the Holy Spirit immediately seals us into that day of redemption. I mean, we're sealed till we're there in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you. Amen. Till next time, God bless.